Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 1, texts 10 to 13. 10 and 11 have very short purports, and 12 has no purport. So we'll go all the way to 13. I'll chant the first few verses myself. So today's topic is going to be heaven on earth. And we'll discuss that a little bit. And how we can have less hell on earth. So let's dive right into the verses. I'll just chant these myself. Raje vasan kim akaron madhapur yam cha keshavaha brataram cha vadhit chavadit kam sam matur adhadhad arhanam. Lord Krishna lived both in Vrindavan and in Mathura. What did he do there? Why did he kill Kamsa, his mother's brother? Such killing is not at all sanctioned in the Shastras. Purport. One's maternal uncle, the brother of one's mother, is on the level of one's father. When a maternal uncle has no son, his nephew legally inherits his property. Therefore, why did Krishna directly kill Kamsa, the brother of his mother? Maharaj Pariksit was very much inquisitive about the facts in this regard. Text number 11. Deham manusam ashritya kativarshani vrishnivi yaru puryam sahavatsit patnyo kati ababan prabho. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body, yet he appears as a human being. For how many years did he live with the descendants of Vrishni? How many wives did he marry? And for how many years did he live in Dwarka? Purport. In many places, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Satchidananda Vigraha, possessing a spiritual, blissful body. His bodily features are Narakriti, that is, exactly like that of a human being. Here the same idea is repeated in the words Manusham Ashritya, which indicate that he accepts a body exactly like that of a man. Everywhere it is confirmed that Krishna is never Nirakara or formless. He has his form exactly like that of a human being. There is no doubt about this. So text number 12. Etad anyachcha sarvam me muni krishna vichestitam vaktum arhasi sarvagna sradaranaya vistritam. O great sage who know everything about Krishna, please describe in detail all the activities of which I have inquired, and also those of which I have not. For I have full faith, and am very eager to hear of them. Okay, today's verse. Na satidu hasyaha ksun mam na satitu saha ksun mam Chaktodam api bharate Chaktodam api bharate Pibantam twan mukamboja Pibantam twan mukamboja Jutam Hari Katamritam Jutam Hari Katamritam Nasati Du Sahaksun Mam Tyakto Dhammapi Bhadate Pibantam Tuan Mukamboja Chuttam Hari Katam Ritam Naisati Du Sahaksun Mam Chakto Tam Apibarate Pibantam Tuan Mukamboja Chuttam Hari Katam Ritam. Nasati du sahak sun mam Takto dam apiparyate Pibantam tvam mukham boja Jutam harikatam ritam Vaishnavis. Naisati du sahak sun mam Takto tam bari abadate Rantan tam bambo jam Tam radi tatam batam Naisati sahsutam Dakti dhamma pandate Danta mantan bambojam Sadam yadi akarmitam. Okay. Na not Esa all this Ati du shaha, extremely difficult to bear. Ksut, hunger. Mam, unto me. Takta udam, even after giving up drinking water. Api, also. Bharate, does not hinder. Bipantam, while drinking. Twat mukha amboja achutam, emanating from your lotus mouth. Hari katamritam, the nectar of the topics concerning Krishna. Translation. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Please repeat. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. To prepare to meet death in 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit gave up all food and drink. As a human being, he was certainly both hungry and thirsty, and therefore Sukadeva Goswami might have wanted to stop narrating the transcendental topics of Krishna. But despite his fast, Maharaj Parikshit was not at all fatigued. The hunger and thirst from my fast do not disturb me, he said. Once, when I felt very thirsty, I went to the ashram of Samika Muni to drink water. But the Muni did not supply it. I therefore wrapped a dead snake over his shoulder, and that is why I was cursed by the Brahmana boy. Now, however, I am quite fit. I am not at all disturbed by my hunger and thirst. This indicates that although on the material platform there are disturbances from hunger and thirst, on the spiritual platform there is no such thing as fatigue. The entire world is suffering because of spiritual thirst. Every living being is Brahman, or spirit soul, and needs spiritual food to satisfy his hunger and thirst. Unfortunately, however, the world is completely unaware of the nectar of Krishna Katha. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore a boon to philosophers, religionists, and people in general. There is certainly a charming attraction in Krishna and Krishna Katha. Therefore, the absolute truth is called Krishna, the most attractive. The word Amrita is also an important reference to the moon. And the word Ambuja means lotus. The pleasing moonshine and pleasing fragrance of the lotus combined to bring pleasure to everyone hearing Krishna Katha from the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami. As it is said, Matirna Krishna Parata Svatova Mito Bibhajate Griha Ratanam Adanta Gopir Vishantam Timashram Puna Punas Charvita Charvananam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. At the present moment, all of human society is engaged in the business of chewing the chewed. Puna punas charvita charvanam. People are prepared to undergo mrityu samsara vartmani, taking birth in one form, dying, accepting another form, and dying again. To stop this repetition of birth and death, Krishna Katha, or Krishna consciousness, is absolutely necessary. But unless one hears Krishna Katha from a realized soul like Sukadeva Goswami, one cannot relish the nectar of Krishna Katha, which puts an end to all material fatigue and enjoy the blissful life of transcendental existence. In relation to the Krishna consciousness movement, we actually see that those who have tasted the nectar of Krishna Katha lose all material desires, whereas those who cannot understand Krishna or Krishna Katha regarding the Krishna conscious life as brainwashing or mind control. While the devotees enjoy spiritual bliss, the non-devotees are surprised that the devotees have forgotten material hankerings. So, Om Gyananta Manandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshushunmitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadanti Swahapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripasindubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishuddhaya Krishna Vishuddhaya Bhutale Smati Jaya Pitak Swami Samnena Charpatani Niti Kripa Yukura Kutidam Narantane. Alright, so here we have it. Heaven on Earth. They actually say that heaven on earth is a choice we must make. It's not a place that we must find. So every day we're making choices. So every day, every moment, we can choose either heaven or hell. It's based on your desires and your choice. It is said, I heard, that one of the sweet ways one can taste heaven on earth is marriage. It can either be heaven, or similarly, it can be hell on earth. That was a quote I heard from somebody. So heaven is not just some fantastic fantasy that we imagine that's not very clear to us. But actually, it's a real thing. Even in places near us, there's places that are heavenly. Srila Prabhupada walked this area. He said, this is like heaven. And so many of you have probably been there. This is Lake Shrine. So these places do exist. And as we mentioned about marriage, we can see marriage like heaven. What better example than Kardava Muni and Devahuti, who they had a very heavenly relationship. In fact, they built their aerial mansion that they lived in to travel to the heavens. That was their honeymoon. All the heavenly planets throughout the universe. They experienced this heavenly happiness here in the material world. But also there is hell on earth. And this is also determined by our choice. We may be thinking, oh, we're here having a great time. You know, we're taking pictures, our very nice postcard pictures we're mailing home of all the fun activities we're doing. But at the same time, how are we acting? What are our habits? This is what we're doing to our environment. This is how much we respect this so-called heaven. And this just shows here the habits that people have, the decisions they're making every day to create a hell on earth. And you can see there's beer bottles, beer cans, junk food, all kinds of crap that they're leaving here, polluting their own environment and creating a hell on earth, which actually leads, as we can see here, graphic pictures of hell on earth. So this class is going to be pretty graphic when we really get to some the heavy-duty things. So if there's children watching, maybe you can turn them away later when they show. But anyway, these pictures that I'm showing, going to show that are very graphic, are from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you have read the Bhagavatam to your children, they've seen these pictures already. But Prabhupada said, and many devotees have said, that it's good to visit this fifth canto. This is a picture of some war zone, but I'm not sure where it's from. If you look on the internet and you Google hell on earth, this is a picture that will come up. So this is one example. You can Google it and see if you've never seen hell on earth. So we think, oh, these helly situations are just by these allegorical demons that we see or that people write and draw that create, you know, a very difficult situation for us. But actually, we can be these demons. We're creating our own hell. And this is the result of these bad habits that we see within this nuclear cloud of lack of sense control, disrespecting nature, exploiting other living entities, and performing all kinds of sinful activities. This is the result. As described in the Bhagavad Gita, these demons, they destroy the earth. That's their activities, meant to destroy the planet. So here's an example of who else but Indra, who is in control of heaven. But actually there's hell in heaven. And here's a demon who's actually attacking the god of heaven, Indra. So wherever you are in the material world, you're going to experience either hell or heaven, depending on your choices and the things and activities that we do. So even Indra finds himself in trouble, who is in heaven, by his decisions that he makes. And this is a demon that actually, just by a mere slap, you know, just completely sent him and his elephant spinning, knocked them both out. So as Maharaj Pariksit mentioned, that here I am, this is a great king. And his world was like heaven on earth. I mean, he was actually powerful enough to keep Kali away, where he didn't have any chance of flourishing, but it was his time. So there was an arrangement made, and simply by his decision to disrespect a sage who was in deep meditation, this great king, who actually was able to create heaven on earth, was cursed. And because of that curse, we are very fortunate, and he was very fortunate to meet Sukadeva Goswami, who narrated to him the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are actually now listening to again. But because of that, we see he, despite all this time, he wasn't hungry or thirsty. And he had to put up with so many things, being cursed. And there was actually some intrigue against him. They were trying to keep the actual dragon, which is a snake bird, away from him. But even when he was bit by this dragon and burned up, he still didn't even feel the pain, because he was completely absorbed in the nectar topics of Krishna Katha, which is described in this verse today. And here we have another example of a devotee of Krishna who is practically experiencing hell on earth. But because he is engaged in the topics of Krishna Katha, glorifying the names of Krishna, he doesn't even feel the boiling heat that the demons are trying to boil him in. So this is the power of Krishna Katha, the power of the nectar topics. So sometimes, and we see the reason why we're here, we were in the spiritual world with Krishna, which was even beyond heaven, which we can't even imagine, but we're beginning to realize through the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam that sometimes even there we have fallen. And the story we know of Jaya and Vijay, who were cursed by the four Kumaras to come to this earth. So sometimes it happens. Here we are in the spiritual world, and then we come down into the material world due to our choices to disrespect or to not stop, make the decision to stop the angry mood, the lusty mood, the mood to try to enjoy separately from Krishna. So this happens sometimes by Krishna's arrangement or sometimes by our own decisions. So here we have the path. We have two paths. We can either go to heaven by developing the spiritual qualities of sense control, study the Vedas, accepting a spiritual master. Or we can take the other path of attachment, lust, greed, anger, and ignorance. So by your thoughts, you can create your own hell, your own decisions. And this is the choices that we have, basically. So we had that, made that decision. So we left the spiritual world and we entered into the material world, which is like a hellish situation. We get these particular bodies which experience birth, old age, disease, and death in different forms, animals and insects, plants, and so many different forms. But actually, we're actually burning up. It's like a samsara. The blazing fire of material existence is eating us up. And we enter this material world. We've entered into this cycle of birth and death. This is one cycle. We take birth into the material world. We grow for some time. You know, we actually become successful, whatever. Then we start to diminish and die. And then we do that again and again and again. The Prabhupada says this is a hellish situation. So during that time that we're here, we may use our free will, our decisions, to actually somehow or another try to contemplate and understand what is our position and try to experience the source of everything, the one who created heaven, who created the spiritual world, who created everything. So one can use his time to actually become absorbed in that and then perfect his life. Or one can decide to get absorbed in earning money to maintain his families. So this is one of the beautiful ways of experiencing heaven or hell on earth. This is the one of experiencing hell. Sometimes we make the wrong decisions and we can experience hell. And we see so-called family members are actually like described here and shown, jackals and tigers and fires, and they just rip us apart. And this is also graphically shown here that these things just pull our senses here and there, pull our skin until it bleeds, pull the eyeballs out to watch, you know, so many different things. The ears are being pulled to the sound, wonderful sounds, and the tongue is being pulled to the food that we, you know, trying to enjoy, and also many kinds of liquor we like to drink or things we like to taste. So this is the spirit soul. You can see his expression on his shirt. Does he look very blissful, like he's in heaven? No, he's in complete misery. It's like, because his position is, he's a fish out of water. No matter what you give your, in this material world, you can give money. We have a goal to achieve money, to achieve health, to achieve social status or social company in many illicit ways. But we'll never become happy because it's like a fish out of water, trying to actually become happy somewhere outside of where your home is, which is actually the spiritual world. So we go through that cycle, and there's our family members. They're at our deathbed and they're weeping because no more they can exploit us. But because of your activities after death, there's more to experience. You not only experience hell on earth, but by your activities, you may actually go to hell. And this is the graphic part, which we will show here from the Bhagavatam. The body, as we know, is like a city. It's your home. And then when the body is, can be attacked by so many enemies in the form of demons or whatever, or in the form of disease, and the life errors of the body become weakened, and then the protectors of the body, the different life errors and different things like that are conquered and then were dragged out of this city. And where are we taken? We're dragged down to Yamaraj. He's the lord of the lower planets, of the hellish systems. And he is like the super soul who knows all the decisions that you made. And you are judged there on the spot. And by these activities, there are certain places that you can actually go. There's different kinds of hells for particular activities that you performed. They're all described in the fifth canto. And you can see for particular activities of drinking and doing illicit activities, what happens. And here, continuing the realm of hell, this is real hell, where we can see, no need to mention, pictures are worth a thousand words. But anyway, this is the result of the decisions that we make. And these are all described. They have all different names. I don't remember the names. Sir remembers a lot of these names, but I don't remember any. Kushi Paka and Pakapuk, whatever, like that. There's so many different hells that we can go to. Anyway, as we read this morning, as Bhrigupati read this morning, that this material world is created in such a way that we can also have the opportunity to advance, not just to be degraded. But we can actually advance by the decisions we make. Here you could be very contemplative. How should I act? What should I do? And by these decisions, we will create the future, heaven or hell. So these are the different activities. So there's different religions, there's different concepts, there's different teachings on what to follow. But before one follows anything, he should be contemplative like this person. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami talks about in one of his books, he says, we have to have three initial questions to make a very clear evaluation of the decisions. And this is what he says, three different things that we should really think about. First of all, what is the ultimate goal of the system? Many times people involve themselves in a religious system without even knowing the ultimate goal. If they really did their research, they might not feel comfortable with the goal. We all have free will, but we should be clear about what we want. Sometimes the ultimate accomplishment of a system is to kill all of one's enemies. For other systems, the ultimate goal is to capture someone and make them a lover. In other cases, the final goals are to attain nirvana, samadhi, cosmic consciousness, mystic power, heaven on earth, or the kingdom of God. So that's the first question you should ask. What is the ultimate goal of the system? And secondly, what must we do to reach that goal? Every system has various tenets that will lead us to a particular goal. If someone introduces you to a religious system but tells you that you do not need to do anything to attain that goal, you should run away very fast. No bona fide system will give higher realizations simply by waiting for them to happen. However, we find that a process requires us to sacrifice our firstborn or do a gruesome ritual, we may decide against that path as well. Or if a process requires the followers to meditate 12 hours a day, we may not feel that we have the desire or stamina to execute those practices. We then decide to go elsewhere. On the other hand, if we are comfortable with the rituals, practices and techniques of the system, then we can go to the third question. So you've got to find something that actually the techniques and rituals that are followed is practical and it doesn't cause harm to other people. So the final question. Sorry, my throat's dry today. Finally, do we feel comfortable with what those who have authentically followed the goal obtained? If we feel comfortable with the process and like the goal, Then we want to know about the people who have succeeded on that specific path. We want to find out if we're comfortable with what they're experiencing, since we can or will become like them. If we feel comfortable after answering all these three questions, then we should use our free will to pursue that goal with great intensity and chastity. So that's an intense decision where you should make a goal where all other goals, every other activity is based on just fulfilling that one goal. Whether it's to make money, is that to help me become Krishna conscious? Whether it's to become healthy, does that help me become Krishna conscious? Whether it means social interactions, social interactions, and does that help me become closer to Krishna? So then all those should be sub-goals to help us achieve that ultimate goal, which we will attain with great intensity and chastity. So here we are in the spiritual world. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead that's worshipped in the highest realms of the spiritual world by His loving devotees, and who expands Himself into Vaikuntha worlds in the heavenly planets. And He's also there worshipped by His loving servants and devotees. That same Lord, where He's worshipped by all the demigods, all the different angels, you know, of the material universes and the spiritual universes, that same Lord decides to actually take His appearance and birth in this material world. And even while He's taking birth, the same personalities, great demigods, sages, angels, they are still worshipping Him, even while He's in the womb. So that Supreme Lord has actually appeared in this mature world to display Himself and to give us the nectar topics of His superhuman activities and His wonderful ways of how He kills these demons, these devils. And actually that demon is us. Those devils are us by our decisions. So He's making us decide on hearing about His transcendental topics, and simply by hearing about them, we will actually become transformed. And we're in this 10th canto now, where we're going to read about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the creator, the controller of millions and millions of universes. And is such a mystic personality that He can manifest those in His mouth to His mother. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the most attractive person and who has the most amazing activities that anybody would want to hear about. So here He comes and displays how He loves all His creatures, all His creation. He loves the animals. He loves nature. They're His devotees. They're His parts and parcels. And we should love and respect them. They're His creation. And He's showing by His example. He's showing how to have social relationships, how to love, loving affairs with His friends and family. And He's giving by His personal example, showing us how to live, showing us even how to play, how to be happy. He comes to display happiness and playfulness and how we can get that back. And it's like a moon, that the moon is so sweet. And you can have these very sweet lotus-like relationships with Krishna, which are very fun and which are very nectarian. Krishna displayed this on this planet. Not only superhuman powers, but superhuman ways of associating and having loving relationships with each other. And also, the first 30 chapters, is it? The 40 chapters is about Krishna in Vrindavan and Mathura like that. And here it's described, the last 60 chapters is Krishna in Dwarka. And he shows an example how to be a ruler, how to be a king, and how to create heaven on earth. And this is Krishna here showing the example, what He created, His whole family. He created the spiritual world here. and Dwarka. This is new Dwarka. So like a lotus, it's and the moon itself, it gives such a wonderful combination that the Supreme Lord, the spiritual world, is like a lotus. And that same lotus-like personality has appeared, like the moon, in this age of Kali, to give us the taste of the nectarian holy names, his examples, his activities, hearing the nectar topics, chanting and singing the glorious topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is, again, Lord Chaitanya, who appeared most recently, who is the combined form of Radha Krishna, came to show how he also gave an example how to love nature, love all creatures. In fact, he would dance with them. They're all spirit souls. They all have a relationship with Krishna. So we should respect everything here as the spiritual world and love everyone. So he came and taught us how to cleanse this dirty ideas, these dirty decisions, and how to really become pure, so that with that pure state, we can actually taste the relish the activities of Krishna. And here's Lord Chaitanya standing on the bank. He's actually seen these activities by his purity. He's actually seen Krishna sporting with his devotees in the spiritual world. So we can have that same vision also, as Lord Chaitanya did. And here's Lord Chaitanya with his devotees, enjoying loving relationships. And this is after Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya actually teaches more and more in detail how to have loving social relationships with his devotees. This is the postgraduate study of spiritual science. And here Lord Chaitanya is giving that nectarian holy name, that if we just chant it, glorify Krishna, his names, his activities, his pastimes, then we'll experience this love of Godhead. We'll experience heaven on earth. We'll actually experience the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada has brought that to us. We're very grateful. Like Lord Chaitanya came, Lord Chaitanya sends his devotees, and Srila Prabhupada, who has actually seen the spiritual world, and therefore he can reveal it to you. And here, right here, Srila Prabhupada is sitting. He's actually given us this knowledge of the spiritual world, the topics of Krishna, and many people have heard and taken advantage. And this is the love that Srila Prabhupada had for all living entities, just as Lord Chaitanya had, just as Krishna has, to spread this message for every soul to actually advance and ultimately go back to the spiritual world. So here we are. This is New Dwarka Dham. This is actually the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada said that his temples are the spiritual world. This is heaven on earth. So that's it. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Realizations? Jai. Okay. Thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.